So I'd like to welcome everyone, in addition to what Virgil was saying this morning, particularly if you're visiting with us, as he announced our regular preacher's out, so you get a substitute today. When Jesus was on the earth, a lot of his teaching was based on what are called parables. Parables, the sower, lost sheep, etc. And these parables, I think, served multiple good reasons or purposes. One was, for those who might not have been all that much interested in spiritual things, they were perhaps confusing. But for those who were, who really wanted to be disciples, in many ways it helps to clarify more difficult to understand concepts with things you can easily relate to. Again, they were somewhat of an agrarian economy, so they would be very acquainted with people going out to sow seed, or raising sheep, losing coins, etc. So to help clarify a better understanding, and to be more memorable. So today we're going to do something like that, except we're going to use somewhat of a more modern, if I get the right button here, a more modern parable. Get all my electronics here turned on. Here we go. And if you want to give it a title, we could call it Fill It Up, which to our minds brings a immediate reference to, in our modern culture, gasoline, fuel, etc. So certainly cars, trucks, trains, you name it, they need fuel to keep running. Normally in the form of petroleum fuel, although more recently with hybrids and electrics, batteries, battery power. And certainly, similarly, our electronic devices, which we have a lot of, need fuel or power in terms of battery power to keep on running. We all recognize that. Ourselves, we recognize kind of a similar fuel, if you will, physical food that we consume that keeps our engines running, so to speak. And in both with physical devices like cars or our bodies, we recognize that we need the proper kind of fuel. We need enough fuel. If you don't get it, things start turning out not good. But also we need, and here's where the analogy comes in, or the metaphor, or the simile, however you want to phrase that, spiritual fuel, mental, emotional kind of fuel to keep us going, to keep us, or give us a sense of, certain amount of knowledge for making good choices, to help us maintain a positive outlook, a sense of confidence, a sense of self-worth, purpose, meaning in life. And so, in the physical sense, when you start to run low or run out of fuel, bad things happen. When you start running low or out of, mental, spiritual, emotional fuel, bad things start to happen, like depression, mental illness, etc. So what we want to do today is, again, kind of draw this analogy, this parable, modern parable, if you will. So starting off, what tends to burn our fuel? And again, this is now in a mental, emotional, spiritual sense. So on the internet, I pulled off a list from basically a mental health site. And there were a lot of things that were provided that can really tax us, can really bring us down. In some cases, it's in a physical way, but in a lot of cases, it spills over into mental, emotional, etc. And I'll just give you, a few moments to kind of look through the list here. For those who may be listening to the audio, things like getting sick, failing a test, being disappointment on the job, traffic accidents, crime, financial problems, problems in the family, divorce, aging, death. The list just goes on and on. A lot of things that will really sap our emotional, mental, spiritual strength, if you will, or that consumes our fuel in that sense. And everyone has those kinds of problems. Everyone has those kinds of challenges. But in particular, Christians have even more. You know, think in terms of the mental, spiritual energy that it takes to resist temptation. Or if you're undergoing trials or persecution for the cause of Christ, dealing with wayward family members, or even just living day to day in a world, in a culture, in a political environment that in many ways is somewhat, if I should say, toxic or unchristian or in many ways sinful. That reminds me of Lot. According to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, Lot, in a similar situation, being oppressed by the conduct of those around about him, tormented his soul. If you do a little bit of digging, at least in the underlying Greek words, the word oppressed literally means to tire down with toil, to exhaust with labor, like we're kind of describing in a physical sense. Tormented, to vex with grievous pains of body or mind. Another definition I found interesting, to be harassed, distressed, and in particular of those who are at sea, struggling with a headwind, trying to make progress. Again, wearying them down. Oppressed and tormented. These kinds of things will consume our abilities, consume our fuel, consume our mental energy, consume our spiritual energy, if I could use that analogy. And being consumed, what happens if we start running low? Now, obviously, with cars, with gasoline, they'll just run until they sputter and die when they run out of gas in the tank. Electrics, well, it kind of depends on the battery. You know, battery starts getting low. Some of your electronic devices start getting low on battery power. You can start seeing some degradation. Certainly, if you're the battery in your car, like on a cold winter morning, and you go to start up, and it's like, right? Starts running low. When our mental, spiritual, emotional energy starts running low, we start growing weary. Sometimes in a physical sense, often in a psychological sense. In fact, the song Robert led earlier, before the sermon, "Let Us Not Grow Weary," well, this is one of the symptoms, if you will, of our spiritual energy running low. You can kind of see this in a couple examples. I mean, the case of Job, with absolutely everything dumped on top of him by Satan. You know, loss of financial health, basically being wiped out financially with, you know, herds and such. Having his family, all his kids killed, wiped out, etc. End of chapter 2, and certainly beginning into 3, and in the multiple discourses that follow, you can just kind of see him getting beat down. Right? Likewise, Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19. It's interesting that from the encounter on Mount Carmel, where everything went extremely positively in terms of Elijah's contest with the prophets of Baal and all the shenanigans they were pulling to try to have Baal bring fire down upon the sacrifice that was altered. All day long, nothing happened. Here comes Elijah, offers his prayer, and all the people go, whoa! From that sort of peak of, if you will, victory, if you will, to Jezebel saying, you're a dead man. And of course, he's fleeing. And of course, 1 Kings chapter 19, here's Elijah in a cave. And God says, hey, what are you doing here, Elijah? And of course, as the account goes on to say, I've been very zealous. The children have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Just like, right? Somewhat spiritually, mentally, emotionally taxed, somewhat exhausted, etc. Continuing on, similarly, weariness, Jesus in the garden. You kind of see that glimpse, if you will, Luke chapter 22. Earlier on, talking about temptation. In the garden now, angel appearing to him to strengthen him. He's in agony, praying earnestly, sweating like great drops of blood. There's a lot of emotional effort, if you will, being expended here. Likewise, Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 and 13, that say in part, because of lawlessness, the abounding of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. Again, taxing that energy, fuel tanks getting low, etc., if you will. Ephesians chapter 2 with the... the Ephesians in Revelation chapter 2, who had left their first love. And likewise, you may have already thought of the verses in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. Talk about not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's just kind of a sense of weariness, again, that can get us when our energies have been taxed, if you will, spiritual, mental, emotional, etc. Something else that can happen if we get low on our tank, poor judgment. Interestingly, we were talking about Lot earlier. Genesis chapter 13, verse 12, where basically the herds of both Abram and Lot were expanding, life was good, the land, the pasturage, really couldn't support them both. And so they have this conversation, and Lot makes a judgment that it would be better for his herds to be down near the valley floor where the Jordan was, well watered, very lush, very green. Great. It just happened to be the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know how that story turned out. Sometimes running low on spiritual energy, you can fall into what we might call snap decisions. We see, in my opinion, we see that with Moses in Numbers chapter 20, verses 10 and 11. Or after having endured so much with your Israelites, first in Egypt and Pharaoh, now wandering around the wilderness, and I can just envision him going, you people. Said some things, did some things he shouldn't have done. Again, probably the accumulated effect of all those tribulations, trials, etc. Likewise, you kind of see that to some degree in the case of Peter, Matthew chapter 26, where pressure's on. Jesus at this point, of course, has been betrayed. He's under trial, and Peter is outside or in the courtyard, outside the building where Jesus is being tried. And people are starting to say, "Hey, I thought I saw you with Jesus." No, I don't know. And through accumulation of three of those things, finally he's like, "No, I do not know the man." And then Peter remembered, finally, what Jesus had said earlier. And so he went out and wept bitterly. Sometimes when we start running low, whether you want to call it a flash of anger, poor judgment, succumbing to a sudden temptation, etc. When we start running low on fuel, we tend to be more vulnerable to those kinds of things. How about when we run out? Well, physically, you run out of gas in your car, it's going to stop running. You run out of battery charge on your iPad or cell phone or whatever, boop, it stops working. Okay. In a spiritual, mental sense, when you start running out of fuel, here's another website I found for the Mayo Clinic, and the kinds of things that can start happening to you when your mental, emotional, and we would make the analogy as well, spiritual energies start to run out. And I'll just go ahead and put both columns up there. And you kind of look through those, from feelings of being sad inability to concentrate, excessive mood changes, withdrawal, low energy problems, sleeping, paranoia, hallucinations, inability to cope, problems with alcohol, drug use, major changes, excessive anger, hostility, violence, suicidal thinking. Very, very serious. And we're just talking in a kind of a human mental illness sort of perspective, you know, much more so in a spiritual perspective. For example, running out of fuel, does that equate perhaps to just giving up? Speaking of parables, Matthew chapter 13, roughly verse 20, Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower. And one of the types of ground was stony. Hears the word, receives it, which is great, with joy, but only endures for a little while. Tribulation, persecution arises because the word nearly stumbles, just runs out. In this particular, in the physical sense, like runs out of moisture, right? The plant, not enough moisture, stony ground, not enough deep. Soil's not deep enough for rooting and moisture, and so it just withers, dies. 2 Peter 2:15, talk about those who have gone astray, have forsaken the right way. 2 Timothy chapter 1:15, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Very sad situation where Paul has to relate some of his former companions. Some have turned away from him. Some have forsaken him. In one case, with Demas having loved this present world, just gave up, ran out of fuel, crashed, etc. And unfortunately, we have the sad case of Judas in Matthew 27, verses 3 through 5. Where basically, you know, went out and, you know, suicidal, hanged himself, killed himself. So it's a very serious situation. So you can kind of start seeing some symptoms, spiritual, emotional, mental, emotional, symptoms when you're starting to kind of run low and starting to bog down. It's a warning sign because to run out of that kind of fuel, if you will, very serious consequences. So continuing the analogy, what kind of fuel is available? Well, I pulled into a gas station not too long ago. It was different. So in addition to five different types of fuel, there were three different hoses. And I wasn't really paying that much attention. I just grabbed a hose and something in the back of my mind went, "Whoa, wait a minute. Okay, so I'm about to put diesel fuel in my gas car. That ain't going to work, right? Destroy the engine." And vice versa. Try to put gasoline in a diesel car. Now, there may be something physically to keep you from doing that. But still, depending upon the vehicle, some fuel is bad, right? I'm not just talking low quality and it might ping, although there are some choices that result in that. I'm just talking, like, you know, you can really harm your engine, right? We recognize that. In a physical sense, the kind of food we eat, we recognize there's some food that we can eat that's like, yeah, that's not good for you, right? I mean, there's, you know, some food that's actually poisonous, but, you know, the more simple case. You know, there's some food, you know, and we typically end up canopying like junk food, right? I mean, you could talk to people who have, you know, heart problems, diabetes, etc., and they will tell you, yeah, there's some food you need to, you know, stay away from. Bad fuel, if you will. Same in a spiritual, emotional sense. Interestingly, in our downstairs Bible class, we were talking, Kate and I were talking about this, and I told him part of our sermon will be talking about, you know, this topic as well. Bad fuel. Well, in the extreme case, a lot of people, to fill their tank of mental, emotional, etc., turn to some very, very bad fuels, right? Filling the void with alcohol or drugs, trying to dull the pain, resorting to, you know, pornography, gambling, you name it, bad fuel to keep them going each day. Okay. Others may find fuel, if you will, mental, emotional kind of fuel, in a peer group, gangs, etc. Or might not be bad fuel, but just might be lower quality fuel. I mean, for instance, you know, a lot of people, you know, strive for success on the job, and there's nothing wrong with that. And in some cases, you know, strive for money because, you know, we need that to live. But if they become more focused on it, dependent on it, if it becomes their God, if you will, now we're starting to talk about love of money, materialism, etc. And of course, that brings to mind, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 6, where it talks about those who desire to be rich for the love of money. You know, not a really good fuel, because uncertainty of riches, as an example, or you can wrap your whole existence around money or materialism or your job, that when you get laid off or fired or retire or financial setback, you're devastated. There's some other kinds of fuel out there that are like, yeah, maybe they're kind of okay. Entertainment, hobbies, vacation, families, grandchildren. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with these kinds of things. Unless this is like the only fuel you're using for your mental health, your emotional health, your especially your spiritual health. So if those are like low quality fuels or bad fuels, how about some higher quality fuels? I don't know how many of you recognize this little critter over here. Back, I think, in the late 50s or early 60s, what was Esso, a gasoline company, became Exxon, became ExxonMobil. They had this caricature, if you will, of a tiger. And, of course, the tagline was, you know, put a tiger in your tank, you know, advertising their gasoline. And, of course, we recognize that in the, you know, like with cars and such, there are some fuels that are better. Like, you know, mainly like the octane kind of rating, et cetera. We understand physically the way we eat and our diet, there are some foods that are better, you know, higher nutritional value, et cetera. Well, likewise, in a spiritual sense, there are some fuels, if you will, that are of higher quality, including physical kinds of things. I mean, and this sounds kind of superficial, but it makes sense. You know, if you're getting an adequate amount of sleep, exercise, nutritious food, that has an impact on your mood, your emotions, your feelings. In fact, even we see that with Jesus in Mark chapter 6, where, you know, taking some rest from the hectic, you know, coming and going. So the physical can impact the spiritual. Going out and taking a little bit of time to enjoy the creation, enjoy nature, mountains, etc. Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You know, pausing to go out at night and observe the stars can be fuel in your spiritual tank, in the sense of reminding us of what an awesome God we have that can create all these kinds of things. How about counting your blessings? James chapter 1, verse 17. Counting your physical blessings, counting your family blessings, counting your, you know, blessings in general, etc. Every good, perfect gift coming from God. And keeping that in mind can put spiritual fuel in your tank, so to speak. More fuel. Scriptures. There you go. For both guidance and encouragement. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Recognizing the value of the scriptures, just like milk, value of milk to a newborn baby to help them grow. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Of course, the previous chapter, Hebrews 11, talks about all these different people and all the different kinds of things they were able to accomplish through faith, as well as some of the hardships they had to endure with their faith. Of course, the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, goes on to say, hey, you know, recognize you've got all these, I'll say, positive role models. You know, that should give us encouragement to lay aside the things that drag us down, sin, run with endurance. There you go. So which if you've ever done any sort of walking, jogging, running, you know physically that consumes a lot of human fuel, so to speak. To include the ultimate example of, you know, Jesus as our example. And of course, we have the example of Jesus back in Matthew 4, you know, relying on the scriptures with an "it is written" when confronted with temptations from Satan. Prayer, there's an excellent source of fuel, spiritual fuel. James chapter 5, 16 comes to mind. Effective fervent prayer of a righteous man. Here's some more fuel, higher quality fuel. How about fellow Christians? Within at least a couple different settings, you know, there's a worship setting, kind of like we have here, which Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25, speaks very pointedly to. Consider how to stimulate, encourage, exhort one another. Okay. Goes on to talk about the assembling together, as well as somewhat, you know, in general, you know, as kind of like a spiritual family or a spiritual body, how we can help one another, encourage one another, give one another, you know, various scriptures, encouragement, etc. Again, a spiritual kind of fuel. How about doing good for others or volunteer work? Acts chapter 20, verse 35 speaks to one of the things that Jesus had said previously about being more blessed to give than receive. I mean, when we get mentally, emotionally, or spiritually sort of wrapped around the axle, woe is me, everything is so bad, problems in the family, problems with my health, problems with politics, problems with the economy, problems with, you know, we get so, things are so bad that, you know, sometimes to get out of our own heads, sometimes just getting up and doing something for others can help that as a spiritual kind of fuel. Where's the gas station? Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, like driving across country or driving into a urban area in some parts of the city, there are some awful sketchy looking gas stations. I think this one actually might be a photo of one that's actually been abandoned. I don't know if this is functional or not. But I have seen some gas stations beside the road, you know, out in rural middle of nowhere. Or even in the city that have, you know, bars on the windows and graffiti on the walls. Just like, I don't think I want to get my gas there. Right? And we see that. In the physical sense, if you want to talk about eating, if you want to talk about going to a restaurant, drive past some places like, that's kind of sketchy looking, right? I don't think I want to eat there, right? We recognize that, right? Naturally. How about spiritual, emotional, mental? Where do we get our gas? Where should we get our gas? Where should we get our fuel? Well, we've already kind of hinted at, you know, faithful local congregation. Good, solid, sound congregation. We've talked about where you get, you know, good, healthy fuel in the form of doctrine, encouraging worship services, the spiritual family, encouragement, etc. Local congregation. Faithful, not a sketchy congregation, faithful local congregation. Typically Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, three times a week, typically. That opportunity. How about just stepping outside? Again, we talk about, you know, observing the beauty of creation, nature, stars, mountains, etc. Stepping outside, soaking in nature, so to speak, and getting recharged, if you will, that way. That's a little bit closer to home. That's a little bit easier, more convenient as well. Pick up a phone, fellow Christians. Well, that's relatively convenient. Pick up the Bible off your bookshelf. That's even more convenient. Or, quote unquote, being just going to God in prayer on your knees, not necessarily physically, but just in terms of, sounds a little odd, in terms of convenience, it's just there, always, available at any time. Lots of different sources of good, high-quality, spiritual fuel. I say sources of, Because it doesn't do you any good to pull up to the gas station and go, "Oh, that's nice," and drive off. Duh. You got to put it in the tank, right? You got to go to the restaurant. You got to consume the food. You got to, etc. Of course, we, duh, Jeff. We recognize that. Likewise, somewhere in the spiritual, emotional, mental, it takes some effort to actually put the fuel, to consume the fuel. Whether we're talking about reading your Bible or praying or getting with fellow Christians, or as 2 Peter chapter 1 says, which Alan puts a whole lot of emphasis on, and correctly so, we need to be diligent. We need to have these things we need to be focusing on. They need to be increasing. Again, we need to be diligent. And as a result, entrance into eternal life can be abundantly supplied. We actually have to fill up our tanks, right? It's kind of the point that's being made there. A couple more. How about the way we drive? Now, in a physical sense, we recognize that there are ways that you can burn through your gas tank, and there are ways that you can kind of economize in terms of the way you drive. Like some people, particularly if you have a truck, they're hauling all kinds of stuff in the back. Just weighs down the truck, consumes gas. Well, Christians, spiritually speaking, can fall into that trap as well. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, where we start dwelling on the past and things we can't change. And we carry this emotional baggage with us, and it weighs us down. Consumes our fuel, spiritual fuel, unnecessarily. How about buzzing down the road? Of course, not only violating the speed limit in a physical sense, burn through your gas quicker? Well, yeah. Similarly, in a spiritual sense, sometimes we get so busy coming and going in a physical sense, activities, whatever. Sometimes we spin our wheels. Sometimes we don't take time to stop and smell the roses, so to speak. That can burn our fuel, so to speak, excessively. Sometimes we need to slow down. Now that it's wintertime, and I know some people do this, and I think there's an actual law against it. They'll go out and they'll start the car, and they'll sit there idling for 5, 10, 20, 30 minutes. Puffers, I think they call them, especially when it's cold. Condensation coming out of the gas tank. That burns fuel. Well, similarly in a spiritual sense, sometimes, we can just sort of burn fuel just sort of sitting around somewhat idly. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, talks about, redeeming the time. So we need to be careful about, how we spend our time to get, you might not have been able to see the, to get better, quote unquote, gas mileage. I don't know about you, but I often will hear, off in the distance, what sounds like people roaring down the street, right? Spinning their wheels, from a stop, spinning their tires, go around the corner, etc. And wasting fuel. Got it. Physically. On the spiritual side, sometimes we just may need to recognize that we need to stop spinning our wheels, spiritually speaking. Fretting over things we can't control. Wasting our mental, emotional fuel on things not only can we not control it, but we can't even influence it. I'm just saying, all the kinds of news you hear, like on TV, radio, whatever, internet. Sometimes maybe we just need to turn off the silly thing. Sometimes we need to recognize that sometimes we just need to take one day at a time. I'll credit Martha with that phrase. Sometimes it's taking one day at a time. Sometimes it's taking 1 hour at a time because of what's going on. And just focus on what we need to focus on. And of course, we have that kind of admonition over in Matthew chapter 6, where it talks about, worrying, being anxious, fretting over physical things like our body and clothes and finances, etc. And, if there's some things we can do, okay, great. But if it's outside our control, outside our influence, sometimes we just need to conserve our fuel and spend it where we need to spend it, again, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Okay, last chart. So, what can we get from all this? Well, as we've seen, we all need fuel, whether we're talking physical food or emotional, mental, and especially within our context here, within spiritual fuel, spiritual life, to keep our spiritual motor running, if you want to use that terminology. And we've also seen that when things start running low, or especially if you run out, very serious consequences. We've also seen there's a lot of fuel that's available out there, but you better be smart about the fuel you use. Again, emotional, mental, spiritual. And where you get it from. Physical sense, spiritual sense, same thing. And as we were talking about a few moments ago, we need to use our fuel efficiently. We need to, you know, be careful where we're expending our mental, emotional, spiritual energy to make sure we're getting, should I say, good mileage out of the fuel that we use. A lot of things, a lot of parallels, a lot of analogies. Hopefully it provides some degree of maybe better understanding of the importance of our spiritual lives, maintaining a healthy amount of spiritual, mental, emotional fuel in our tank, not wasting it, etc. And, okay, fine. Hopefully it'll be somewhat memorable that you can remember it into the future. And, of course, make practical application. Speaking of practical application, of course, as we end the sermon, we always offer the invitation for those who may have been influenced by perhaps at some limited degree the sermon or others, and realize that, you know, as a, you know, non-Christian, they've been putting all different kinds of, you know, fuel in their tank, so to speak, you know, mental, emotional, especially spiritual, that just is not good fuel, and that the ways of the world, the fuels or the entertainment of the world are just not satisfying. And again, that's where we talk about, you know, belief in God as well as Jesus being Son of God, repenting of the kind of former lifestyle, confessing Jesus as deity, as well as being immersed in water in order to have the forgiveness of sins. It's also an opportunity for those who have, you know, run low on fuel, done things maybe they shouldn't have publicly, to, if it is publicly, to come forward and confess. Or maybe it's just your tank's been kind of low and you've been feeling kind of down or bummed out or angry or frustrated or whatever the case may be. And you need to pause and do some recharging with some encouragement from the congregation. Again, a lot of analogies there. If you have any of those needs, we will not extend the opportunity. If you want to come forward and make them known while we stand and sing.